Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle
with plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Hey guys, this is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with Allison.
Hi, everyone.
So today we're going to be talking about home remedies from a beauty perspective. So we've definitely had kind of our regular, I think more around like, what do you do when you're sick type of remedy show. This is all about kind of our little beauty hacks. And I've tried to put together, you know, a pretty consolidated list of common things you might find at your house and different things you could do with them.
I think what's funny is on either the skincare episode or the makeup episode, I said one of ours looked like a pharmaceutical company and one looked like it was made in their basement. So this episode will explain why Larissa's products look like they were made in her basement.
I'm telling you, they're not made in the basement. They're made in the kitchen.
Same, same.
Yeah. So what are we drinking today with our topic?
So today we have a bourbon pear cider, and this is a really easy one to make. It's probably things that you can find either around your house or, you know, you might have to venture out for pear juice. I don't think that's something people have on hand, but pretty simple, really delicious, and a nice twist on something that you might not normally make. So cheers to beauty home remedies.
Cheers. Before we dive in, let's take a moment to chat about our sponsor, Annie's Kit Club. We told you last week about our partnership with Annie's, but I thought it might be really fun to actually tell you about some of the projects Allison and I have done with our families.
Just as a reminder, Annie's Kit Club is a subscription craft kit for boys and girls ages 7 to 12, but really younger kids can enjoy them if a grown-up or sibling is willing to help. You can choose the Creative Girls Kit, where you get two unique projects delivered every 4 to 6 weeks, or the Young Woodworkers Kit, which delivers one project every month, and your first kit actually comes with a child-size hammer, which is adorable. Each kit, of course, comes with the materials you need and step-by-step instructions.
I can't wait to try out the Woodworkers Kit with my son, but for now, my four-year-old daughter and I did two kits from the Creative Girls Club. We made a tie-dye star and a boho dream catcher. She was so excited about both and couldn't stop talking about where she was going to put them. Of course, I had to help her since she's younger, but it's really nice bonding time, and I didn't have to be by her side the entire time. There was definitely parts of the craft where I could step away. When we were doing the star, I got her going on the painting, and I could kind of take a moment to do a few dishes and some things around the kitchen.
And as I mentioned, Claire's a little bit young to be doing these at one, but my 10-year-old niece Zoe does come over, and it's awesome to be able to have some toys that she can play with. I think the Tinker Toys Claire has don't really fit the bill. We got the boho dream catcher as well, but we also got these really cute glitter magnets. And we were able to take them on a trip with us and do them just in our downtime. So it was super exciting. We do this family trip every year, and it was something special that we could do together. And she thought they were so fun. And now it's something a little special she can hang in her room and things that she can use to hang up projects on her fridge. And she just loves it.
That's so sweet. Our network, Life Listened, has partnered with Annie's Kit Club to offer really big savings on your first shipment. For 50% off the Young Woodworkers Club or 80% off the Creative Girls Club, visit annieskitclubs.com/life. You don't need a promo code. Just head to annieskitclubs.com/LIFE. And you can always visit our show notes for the direct link. So you know I'm a big fan of really simple ingredients. And I think that there's tons of times where you can reach for something that's already in your house without having to spend money on products. So this is my take on a couple of things that you've already got in your pantry or medicine cabinet or otherwise that you can use for beauty hacks. So I'm curious to see what you might already do, what you might have to add to this list, or I don't know, things that you might refuse to do. That's always fun for me.
I don't know about refuse to do. We'll see. We'll but, see. What
well,
they
maybe
are.
Too weird for you to try.
Oh goodness, this is going to be more bull semen things like that.
No, that's only on your list.
I come up with a weird list.
So we can't talk about home remedies without talking about coconut oil. I'm not gonna dive into this one too much because I feel like this one's been done. Mm-hmm. And I think the things that I tried to put on here were really things that people might not know about or might not think to use. But I do want to talk about coconut oil for a second because it is so widely like touted for everything and anything, your hair and your face and your body and everything. So I primarily use it for my eye makeup remover.
And just like the jars you can get at Whole Foods or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. So I primarily use it as an eye makeup remover. And we talked about that in our skincare episode, especially for mascara that's greener. Whatever, I don't know what the ingredient is that's missing in it, but it makes it really difficult to wipe off.
It's kind of like a waterproof.
Yeah, it kind of just like smears around, and I find that oil makes it come off really easily. I don't really use it anywhere else on my face. I have used it as a body moisturizer, but I kind of usually opt for other lotions. But I want to actually talk about why not to use it, I guess. And I feel like this might help people because everyone tells you to put coconut oil on everything everywhere. So you may not know, but, you know, right now, the big thing is, you know, are things comedogenic or not? Do they clog your pores? And most people don't know that coconut oil is a 4 out of 5 on that scale. So it is super clogging of your pores. And you've got pores all over your face. And so if you are someone who has acne, and I've seen it recommended to people, use coconut oil. It actually will exacerbate your acne issues because it's going to clog your pores. It almost creates like a waxy buildup on your face.
So how do you avoid that when you're taking off your mascara?
So on your eyes, it's okay because you don't have oil glands like right around your eyes. And I'm wiping it off. I'm not leaving it on.
Okay.
And I'm talking about wiping it off, not just with water, because that's not really going to do anything. It's an oil, but really taking like a cotton round or a wet washcloth and really taking it off because I'm trying to wipe off the mascara too. So this isn't so much a beauty hack, but I will link to my coconut oil lotion that I use that I do use on my eyes for makeup remover. But it's a little bit of a cautionary tale, I guess, about using coconut oil in the ways that everyone recommends to use coconut oil. Now, when it comes to your body, you can use it as a moisturizer. It is a really great moisturizer in a lot of ways. But again, if you are someone that gets acne on your body, like say on your back or things like that, like it's not for you because again, it is pore clogging. It is comedogenic and it will make those types of issues worse if you already have them. And I think most people don't know that.
I wonder if it would be good on those really dry spots, like your elbows.
For sure.
Maybe it is. So avoid it is a nice moisturizer. Full body moisturizer, but like on those key bits.
Yeah. And I would cuticles. Say, for sure. And I would say, you know, again, I would be more hesitant to use it on my face than ever to use it on my body. So I just want to make that part of it known, right? Mm-hmm. That it's not the holy grail of kind of skincare for your face.
Got it.
And so let's move on from coconut oil because I did say I don't want to drain that one. The other one is honey, brown sugar, and olive oil put together.
Oh, like an exfoliant?
Exactly. Yeah. So equal parts of it. So you can use it in a lot of different ways, that combination of things. You can exfoliate your lips. You can exfoliate your face. You can exfoliate your body.
How long would something like that last?
Not very long. So it's not going to have a preservative in it. It doesn't have a very long shelf life. It really depends on like, you know, I say olive oil, but it could be almond oil. It could be avocado oil. It's whatever you have in your pantry is fine. Like a more liquid oil. And I would say not coconut oil.
Yeah.
But you know, you can, if you're just exfoliating your lips, just make a one-time batch. If you want to make something a little bit bigger, just make sure it's in a nice sealed jar and you can put it in your fridge. I couldn't tell you how long it lasts. Maybe it's going to last you a week. Maybe it'll last you longer. I would say just open the jar and see if it smells all right. If it smells all right, it's fine.
If it's growing something, throw it out.
Yeah. When I tend to do things like this, I just tend to make like a one-time batch. I make more if it's, you know, more than just my face and my lips, or if it's my whole body, I'm going to make a ton more.
But what a simple recipe. It's just equal
everybody
parts.
Has this. Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't have brown sugar, you can use white sugar. Like you just need something that's a little bit coarse. But the honey and the brown sugar and the olive oil is kind of my go-to. And the one thing that I would say you can add, and I especially like to do this when I exfoliate my lips, is you can add kind of a dash of cayenne or a dash of cinnamon or both for like a little bit of plumpness.
Oh, neat.
I've never tried it on my body. I don't know if that would be like spicy.
A weird feeling. Does it feel like tingly?
A tiny bit. And I mean, we talk about doing the equal parts honey, brown sugar, and olive oil, but you wouldn't do equal parts
just a
of
dash,
that. Yeah, yeah, you do like a little pinch. So I don't know, maybe if your lips are a little bit more cracked or something, you might feel it more, but it's not overpowering.
Okay. Very neat.
So I think that's a great one to have in the arsenal. And it's just, again, something that you always have.
And I love that our hater of everything seasonal spice is offering to put cinnamon in something.
I mean, let's be honest. Most of the time I do cayenne pepper.
Can't believe you hate cinnamon.
I think I could have like, and probably have, like you just buy like one thing of cinnamon and it would last me my entire lifetime and probably be like half full.
It's a spice I buy on the regular.
Well, you can have some of mine.
Apparently.
So I want to talk about one of my favorite remedies, and it's tea.
I like drinking tea. So
well, there's lots of benefits for drinking tea, but there's tons of topical benefits to tea. So, of course, like you drink it for the antioxidants. Tea also has tannins, which is like the same stuff that's in wine. To be honest, I still don't quite understand what tannins are. I know that they make my mouth all kind of like dry and gummy, but I don't understand what they are, but they have like their own healing properties. And you're like, you're a little bit into wine. Do you understand much about tannins? Maybe you, can you explain it?
I will look into this, but okay. We'll come back to tannins.
All right, fair. So all of these things that I'm going to mention, I normally have like more black type of tea in my house or like green teas. I don't have a ton of herbal teas, but I think for most of these, you can use whatever tea you have. The one that I use the most is hot tea on a pimple.
You actually shared this one with
me. You tried
it? It does work because I used to just do like a face cloth and with really hot water to try to get rid of the pimple. And I'm doing this because I have one right now, which I will need to do.
She's motioning.
I don't get pimples often, but when I get them, they are bad.
And they're like, and I'm talking about the ones that are like under your skin and you know that they're there and they hurt sometimes and you just want them to get to the surface so you can be gone of it.
And it like, it does, it kind of draws things out and I don't know, it just soothes in a lot of ways.
And so what you want to do, just for clarity, what you want to do is you want to dip a tea bag in kind of as hot as water as you can stand to put on your face and put that directly on the blemish. And I don't know, I hold it essentially there until the tea bag goes cold.
Yeah.
And you should, sometimes I see a difference right away, but if you do it at night, by the morning, you're going to see that pimple like be at the surface.
Yeah.
And it just really does work. I mean, it's essentially the heat, but I do think that there's some benefit to having the properties from the tea on it as well to calm the redness and to help soothe it as it's coming back up. So once you're done with the tea bag, you can actually reuse it. Like if you're doing this at night, you can actually reuse the tea bag and put it right on your eyes. The caffeine from the tea, if you're using a caffeinated tea, but also the tannins again, do wonders for the bags under your eyes. You can do that warm if that feels good to you. You can do it once the tea bag's cooled off, obviously, from using it. Or some people actually like wet them and keep them in the fridge because that feels really good.
That like, sounds like it would feel really
good. Like a similar thing to like a cucumber or like potatoes or whatever people are. No, potatoes is a thing.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's really good for your eyes too. So that's like a, you know, a twofer if you've already got the tea bag that you're not using to drink. Another one is shiny hair. And I can't believe I didn't think about this when we did our hair episode, but you can use this for your hair. I've done this a time or two. It's not something I'm consistent with, but it really does work and it's easy. So you take two tea bags, 2 cups of water, and you want to use a tea that matches your hair. So
like from a color perspective?
Yeah, because it'll actually help kind of stain your hair a little bit. Like say you're trying to like go just a smidge longer between color.
Yeah.
Or it also just helps with just shine.
Interesting.
But because the tea does stain a little bit, you want to use something that's close to your hair. So I would say for blondes, use chamomile, like something like a chamomile. For brunettes, you want to use black tea. And then I actually looked up purposely like what you would use for a redhead, and the tea that's recommended is called rooibos. I can't pronounce it. We'll put
I
it
know
in.
I've heard that word.
Have you heard
said?
It?
But why can I not?
Rooibos?
I always said it was like rubus.
Is it rubus? All right. We'll figure it out and we'll link it for you. But I think it's got like a deep orange color. That's right. If you've got that like bright red hair. So essentially what you want to do is you want to take 2 tea bags in 2 cups of boiling water and you want to steep that for like 10 to 15 minutes. And then I think by that 10 to 15 minutes, once that's done, the water should be pretty cool by then. You essentially just pour it over your washed hair. So after your shampoo and conditioner, you're pouring that in. And then you're going to just blend it through your hair like you would a shampoo and just let it sit there while you enjoy your nice calm shower. And then you want to do the shampoo and conditioner again.
I love that. I think this is one I will definitely give a try.
Will you try?
Yeah.
So, you know, it does help like stain your hair just a tiny little bit. Tea in general lowers the pH of your hair. So your hair is like a little bit softer, a little bit shinier. So it's got a couple little bonuses. And it's something you can do, you know, like once a week if you want to. Or it's not something you have to be consistent with. It's just kind of whenever you want to add a little shine.
I would totally do this.
Okay. I'd be curious to see what you think if you try it.
So a little update.
Okay.
Rooibos.
But it's got 2, it's R-O-O.
I know. Rooibos.
All right.
Now we know.
Thanks.
But this one thankful I'm giving
for
a
technology.
Try.
So another really great use for tea bags is for sunburn. And I'm talking like a cool tea bag. I wouldn't really do like cold from the fridge because that would probably be a little bit jarring.
Although I love doing frozen aloe.
Oh, really?
So I think cold might actually be nice.
Maybe you would like that then. Mm-hmm. I think the tea bags themselves, it's difficult if you're like your whole torso is burnt or whatever. Super easy, obviously, if it's your face. But you can actually fill a tub, put a ton of tea bags in it, and take a tea bath.
Oh, nice.
And it's super, super helpful. And
that could get expensive depending on how nice you like your
buy teas. Buy the cheap stuff for that. You know, tea is tea. So you don't have to, you know, use your fancy organic herbal.
I was going to say, tea is tea unless you're drinking it and then.
That's different. And then in the same way, you can actually soothe razor burn.
That is a nice
so,
tip. So, you know, like you almost want to keep a bag of tea like in your beauty
you
counter.
You can because all of these remedies, you can essentially, like, it's your preference whether you use something that's warm or cool or cold. So you can keep, like, some tea bags in a jar. All you do is wet them. That's all you need to do. So it's obviously cooling and it just feels good if you have razor burn. But again, those tannins and antioxidants that kind of get on you from the tea bag being wet help heal.
That's such a cool idea. All right. This is being added to the counter.
So I love that.
Is there more that you can use tea for?
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
That's why it's my favorite. So remember when we did the garlic episode and mm-hmm. I was talking about how you can stick like a sliver of garlic on a splinter
mm-hmm.
and then it'll be out in the morning. So you know when you, I don't know, have worn like a crappy pair of shoes and you get that like boil on the back of your foot that's like.
Yeah, blister?
Is that called a blister?
What's a boil?
I think that's called a boil? What is it called when it's like filled with stuff?
I thought it was a blister.
I don't know. We're talking about the same thing. I don't know what
okay.
it's called.
Okay, blister is what I call the like if you're wearing shoes and they rub.
But it's not like a cut, it's like that like thing of skin with like the stuff underneath.
A blister.
Okay.
Now I want to know what a boil is.
We're gonna look it up. I called it a boil. Okay. Anyway. So the same way you, she's looking things up again as we're talking. So the same way you can put, you know, a piece of garlic on a splinter and then it'll be out by the morning. You can put a wet tea bag overnight on blister boil.
Very different.
And it will have drained in the morning.
Really?
Yes.
And so then the benefit is you don't have to pop it because you know when you have a blister and like the skin splits.
Or a boil.
Oh my God. So the difference is one is an infection.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but you know when blisters, like the skin actually splits, it's so painful and it's painful for a while, especially when you're wearing other shoes.
Yes.
So this is a great one.
So it's not like, I can't say it's like the most pleasant thing in the world because you've got like a cold, wet tea bag in your sock.
That sounds kind of gross when you put it that way.
Right? But it does kind of help heal something pretty quickly. So it's a great one to have in the arsenal. Another reason to keep tea bags upstairs. And then so two more. One for the kiddos, which is for a sore arm after shots.
Oh, nice.
Again, the tannins, the coolness, you know, whether it's cool or cold, probably not warm.
Yeah.
But it does help. And the same thing with bug bites, like in the same vein as like the blister boil and the sunburn and like all those kind of things when your skin is just a little bit irritated, it always helps. And actually one that I forgot about that I grew up using is, and this is not so much a beauty hack, but kind of, I don't know, a home remedy almost, is for pink eye. My mom would always put tea bags directly on my eyes and kind of, I would push on the tea bags and let the
directly
tea.
Directly on your eyelids.
Well, I would have my eyes closed. I know you have a thing. You have a thing.
With eyes where you said directly on my eyes.
I would open them so wide. No. I would close my eyes. I would put the tea bags on my eyes, but I would actually push on the tea bags so that the liquid would get into my eyes.
Oh, wow.
And it really does help.
Wait, question back to the bug bite one.
Yeah.
Does it help with itch?
Yes, it will. Because think about the same way as like sunburn or anything else. When you put stuff that's cooling on there, it stops those types of things. So it would help.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
The cure-all tea.
Tea. Who knew? But yeah, it's really one of my favorite ones. I don't know. Just anytime you need some kind of like compress, I always go for tea because it has those added kind of medicinal benefits from the tea.
I love that.
So one to keep in the arsenal. All right. So another one is lemons. And this one is great for dry patches on your skin. You were talking about coconut oil, like on your elbows. Yeah. So citric acid removes dead skin cells. So, you know, on your heels, on your elbows, like wherever you've got that, you can actually just slice a lemon in half and rub it right on there. And you will likely see a difference almost immediately.
That's fascinating. One thing I've seen is on people using on their feet and their elbows is doing that, cutting a lemon in half and putting salt on it.
Yep.
And then rubbing that on elbows and heels.
I don't know about why the salt.
Or like some kind of an abrasive.
I have it written down as like you can rub it on your face to brighten your skin. Because again, it's the same thing with the citric acid. It helps dissolve the dead skin. And can help like dissolve away blackheads and things like that. And what you can do is to kind of like dip that half a lemon in sugar and use it as a scrub.
Hmm.
What I worry about with you saying with the salt.
Maybe it was sugar. I've only ever seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because with the sugar, I find it to be one thing. I feel like the citric acid plus salt would burn.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, I've never tried that. I've only ever tried it with the sugar.
Or with tequila shots.
But that's so different.
But yeah, sugar. And
at that point, I'm not rubbing it on my face.
I hope not. Unless that you've had way too many.
Weird. But yeah. Well, let's look it up. Maybe if somebody is using it with salt. But just something,
I could be wrong because
something
I've
tells me
it
would burn.
You'd think so.
It's just like too much acid.
I don't know. Look it up.
Anyway, so your skin on your body is a little bit tougher than the skin on your face. If you do use the half a lemon on your face on its own or even with the sugar, you want to make sure that you wash it off and wash it completely off. I would say on your face, use it once a week tops, because again, it's just a lot of acid on your face, and citric acid can actually make your skin a little bit more sensitive to UV light. So if you have done that, especially like the next day, you want to SPF the crap out of yourself.
Interesting. Okay.
Then you're going to need tea bags for your face for your burn.
Just use all of these hacks all in one.
All of them. So the next one is coffee grounds, and I would guarantee 90% of you listening drink coffee and you got coffee grounds.
Some upstairs.
There you go. So I'm actually talking about using the coffee grounds that are left over after you make your coffee. So you can take like 2 tablespoons of coffee and I would say like 4 tablespoons of olive oil, avocado oil, whatever oil you have.
But again, a liquid oil.
Yeah, a liquid oil. Again, well, so this is on your body. So Or at least this one is for your body. So you can use coconut oil if you'd like to. If that's something that you do use as a moisturizer, that would be okay. But it's actually fantastic for cellulite. So if you think about it, you know, when we drink coffee, it's a diuretic. The same way that, you know, when you ingest it, when you scrub it onto your skin, it can actually help suck out excess water that's in your fat cells.
Interesting.
And it's an exfoliant because it's coarse and grainy. And it's not going to be like a painful course, like a sugar or anything like that. It's going to actually feel nice.
Have you tried this one?
Yeah, I have tried this one. It's messy.
Yeah.
You want to do this in your shower, but then you also want to be super careful because it's oil and so you're super slippery. Oh, yeah. So it's dangerous.
So use caution when doing this one.
But, you know, I have found it to be awesome for cellulite. You can use it even if you don't have cellulite, just as like a nice kind of feel-good exfoliant.
And if you don't have cellulite, just don't tell people.
Yeah.
Because we're very jealous of you.
But again, just like be really careful in the shower. And I will also tell you, coffee grounds are dark and black and they will temporarily stain your skin. But it just like washes right off. So like, don't freak out.
Or like a tanning solution.
Or like, I mean, it would be really obvious.
At home tanner.
I don't recommend this. And then again, for hair. So if you are a brunette, not if you are a blonde, because it will stain. Don't do this if you're a blonde. Warning. But if you are a brunette, you need like a little bit of a color pick-me-up. You can mix a teaspoon or two, like depending how long your hair is, right into your conditioner. And you could do this with kind of used coffee grounds. You could do it with fresh coffee grounds. But you just kind of like leave it on as a mask for a few minutes in your hair and then rinse it completely out. And like while you wait, I also recommend, because it is exfoliating, you can kind of like massage your scalp a little bit, like a nice little exfoliating scalp massage. I don't know this to be true, but they have said that caffeine could actually stimulate hair growth. So it could be good from that perspective.
Kind of like that cayenne wash we talked
about. Yeah, like just like a little bit of an added bonus. But just be sure that you rinse it completely out because it does have a color to it. So you want to avoid staining your pillows or whatever you're wearing or whatever.
It starts to leak down on your white shirts.
It's not a good look. Awkward. And the last one I wanted to talk about is tea tree oil. And this is one we use like on the regular for different things in my house. So a couple of things, a few drops of tea tree oil right into your shampoo will get rid of your dandruff.
Really?
Yes.
What are the properties that help there?
I don't know. I do not know. I don't have dandruff, but I have hair that like holds product. And I'm not someone who washes my hair every day. And so I will sometimes have like products start to flake off in my hair and it looks like it's dandruff and it's not, but it looks like it and it just helps. And so it helps with regular dandruff and it helps with almost like when you have a clarifying shampoo that's supposed to pull all that stuff, but you don't want the clarifying shampoo because it's full of garbage. You can do a couple drops of tea tree oil and it's like very invigorating. It's like a tingly kind of experience.
Oh, that's interesting. Will you find that they often add that to some products and like a brand might add tea tree oil?
Yeah. I've actually had tea tree oil shampoos. There's tons that are based that way. So the only thing you have to be careful with tea tree is it strips color.
Oh,
so if you're someone that colors your hair, you don't want to use tea tree and you don't want to use tea tree shampoo because it will just get rid of your color faster. And that's annoying. It's fantastic for spot pimples. And I think we've talked about this before.
You did. And I remember because I'm looking to switch out my pimple cream at the moment. So I'm looking for something specific with tea tree. So if you have a recommendation.
Tea tree.
Just like straight tea tree.
Straight tea tree. But you cannot put straight tea tree oil onto your face because it can burn your skin.
Okay.
So you need to dilute it.
With?
So you can either, like I just use a carrier oil. I normally use the marula oil, jojoba oil, whatever oil you're willing to put on your face, you just dilute it. And I'm talking like you need a drop, maybe a drop, not a ton. You can put right under spot pimples. If you are having a complete and total breakout, you can put a drop in right into your moisturizer, but just never directly on your face. It doesn't bother some people, but it can almost cause a burn-like effect.
Especially if you have sensitive skin. Like, I feel like it would
for sure
burn right through mine.
For sure. And coincidentally, I know that the pimple product that you were using was benzoyl peroxide was the main ingredient. And tea tree is actually the most comparative kind of healthy option for benzoyl peroxide.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect then.
Yeah. And, you know, if you don't want to get like the oil itself, Dr. Bronner's makes a tea tree version. We actually in my house switch between Dr. Bronner's peppermint and Dr. Bronner's tea tree. And I use that as face wash, as a body wash, anything and everything, a cleaning solution.
Which one you attribute one of them for really clearing up your acne?
The peppermint.
The peppermint?
The peppermint. And like I enjoy the peppermint because I find it has like kind of a nice like tingly. But the tea tree also has like a lovely scent. I know that's not for everybody, but yeah. I enjoy the smell of tea tree. So those are my kind of, I don't know, medicine cabinet kitchen beauty home remedies. It sounds like there's quite a few here that you're willing to try. Most of them with tea.
A lot of tea. I really do think it makes sense from what you're saying to really have this on hand in your medicine cabinet or on your counter for from a beauty perspective. But I think I'd try most of these. I'm really interested in the coffee grounds piece because I used to use this like henna conditioner that had a similar property to helping your color, like just enhancing your color a little bit. But okay. I think coffee grounds would probably be even a greener version of that.
Yeah, because you're essentially, most times you could just reuse the coffee.
So yeah.
It's like a great green alternative to, or like an upcycle of something that you've already used.
And I'm already on the hunt for tea tree. So you are speaking my language with all of these.
Well, and make sure too, if you are going to get a tea tree oil, like an essential oil, that you get something that is pure.
Can you maybe post one?
Yeah, I can do that for sure. There's just some companies that I trust over others. There's a lot of testing that's done on essential oils to make sure that you're really getting a pure product and it's not cut with anything. And I don't know. Essential oils are always kind of, you want the pure version, whether it's you're diffusing it because it's getting into your lungs or you're putting it straight topically on your face. Never ingesting it. That's my two cents. Don't ingest it. Awesome.
Yeah, I love this. I love all of
these. So we will get all of these posted for you. I know some of these had like a couple of, I don't know, recipes and measurements mm-hmm. associated with it. So we'll get everything posted for you in show notes at crunchycocktailhour.com.
And I think we mentioned a couple of links, or at least if there's something that you have a favorite of.
Maybe yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For some of these, the tea tree products or, you know, the Dr. Bronner's, I can definitely post those. But My intention really is to, I don't know, give you a few things in your arsenal that you don't have to buy, that you could just try at home today as you listen to this or, you know, whenever you hear it. Because I do think some things you just don't have to go buy. You don't have to buy an expensive product to get something out of it. And they're so customizable that you can add a pinch of this or a pinch of that to, I don't know, maximize on the properties.
Yeah.
So
you feel like you're creating something new, which I love.
Totally. So you can find the Bourbon Pear Cider on Allison's blog, silverlinedandwine.com. Of course, if you like what you hear, please subscribe and you'll never miss an episode. New ones coming out every Friday. And we're still a continuing growing podcast. And every review is so, so helpful and so appreciated. So if you've got the time, we would love that. And give us a follow on social media. We are at Crunchy Cocktail Hour everywhere. And of course, we'll see you next Friday.
Bye, everyone.